In 5, 4,
and 4,
3,
2,
and 1. Episode number 71. We're here.
71.
Yes, our 72nd episode. We're here on the evening of November 28th, 2011 at 10 p.m. And we have a full house tonight in the chat room.
What is that? Three of a kind and two pair? Or three of a kind and a pair?
Well, we have some people who haven't joined us before. In fact, we have a sponsor of a previous episode. If I'm correct, we have
Murph.
Kevin McLaughlin is in there.
Oh.
I believe.
Hi, Kev.
Yes. We also have Garby, who is somebody who I know from another podcast, who has graciously decided to join us and comment on my typos.
You know, I would, when I make typos, and I do, because, you know, we're human.
I'll fix it.
I prefer people to point out my typos. First person that sees it, because everybody notices typos, except for the guy who made the typo.
I know. I will have it fixed after the show. So it's been a very big and exciting Android-filled week for me, although there's been some slow news. I will have some news for tomorrow, so that will be timely for next week. Where did we leave off last week, Jerry? What were we talking about?
You got me.
I know I was playing with the Kindle Fire.
Okay.
And we got some feedback regarding that from Mert. Or is it Mort? M-Y-R-T. I assume that's... Is that Mert or Mort?
I'd go Mert.
Okay, well, Mert said, I just purchased a Kindle about a week ago. I have an Evo, but wanted something bigger to tinker with. I visited droidpirate.com and rooted myself. Well, actually, I rooted the Kindle. If I root myself, I do so in private. It made a world of difference. I have access to the Android market. It plays Netflix just fine. I unrooted myself after doing the tweaks that Droid Pirate suggested, and I can go back to Amazon and watch the Amazon Prime movies also. All in all, a great purchase. Hope you can get some more people to fess up on purchasing a cheap man's iPod. Yours in perpetual motion, Mert.
Now, see, I thought the Kindle Fire was going to be harder to... Well, is it a Fire or just a Kindle?
No, he got the Fire.
I saw the word Fire.
Well, he omitted it later in the document. He referred to it as the Kindle. But he is referring to the Fire because no other Kindle can support the market.
And now, I thought that was supposed to be, like, super locked down.
Well, no, not really.
No ramen going on. Or is it just no ramen?
No. Amazon said they weren't going to prevent people from doing anything. The only thing is, once you do things, if it's rooted, Amazon Prime movies won't work. And, you know, the video download, essentially it checks for a super user file. Mm-hmm. So you can sort of fool it, but if you install the market and then unroot, it should work fine. So I installed Gmail and the Google Services framework, and I played with it for a couple of days, and then I did with it what I said I was going to if I didn't feel attached to it.
Did you give it to your parents?
Yes. My mother
so
is now...
So you did not feel attached to it?
Well, I very much liked it, but I decided that it wasn't necessarily for me. So my mother is very...
But you kept your Nook.
Yeah. I don't know if...
I know. I recently went to Barnes & Noble and picked up another charger.
Those things cost entirely too much.
Yeah, right? And it's a micro USB, but it's like an eighth of an inch longer than your normal micro USB, so no other micro USB will work.
Well, it will work, it just won't charge as fast. It has extra pins, so it drives a bigger charge.
Oh, the ones I have won't even make the light come on.
Well, I can make it come on, it just sort of trickle charges.
But I got a new charger and turned on my Nook after, I want to say, like 3 months of not even looking at it, and I was surprised it still had a 40% charge.
Well, it's a good device. I don't intend on getting rid of my Nook anytime soon. Although I
so
could
for
be...
those of you that were worried about them not fixing the
sleep of death,
the deep sleep, I think they've got it fixed.
Well, it's still a problem, but you know, it's more intermittent.
60% over 3 months.
Yeah, but the sleep,
I think that's the sleep
of, but the sleep of death refers to when you don't turn the Nook Color off and it sleeps and dies. It doesn't refer to the draining the battery. It refers to a phenomenon by which you have the Nook on with the screen off. It goes into sleep mode, which is not a full off, and it doesn't wake up.
No, that's what I'm saying. They fixed that.
Not totally.
Like build 78, I want to say.
No, they still have intermittent problems with it. People are still complaining.
Oh, because mine was not turned off. It was in sleep mode. I pressed the button on the side, and the screen came on immediately.
Because okay. I still have some sleep of death issues.
Wow.
But I did actually decide to try. I pulled out the Nook Color and tried to install the Amazon Kindle apps on it after reading an article by Kevin Toefel about how he tried to do that with a Galaxy Tab. So I was able, I couldn't get the Amazon Video app working because it won't recognize the lack of root presence on the Nook Color. But I did get the Amazon Music app, the one that they have loaded on there, which is a little different than the one in the market. And I couldn't get the launcher working, although he said that he was able to. But, you know, I had enough little fun playing with it, and I did get the Amazon shopping app, which is a much more tablet-y experience. I'm surprised they're not releasing these things publicly.
One of our listeners tonight asked, he wondered where the ice cream sandwich is in the Cyanogen mod.
It's actually doing fairly well.
8 days ago, Mr. Cyanogen himself got ice cream sandwich running on a Galaxy Tab.
Well, yes, but you also have, there are builds of Ice Cream Sandwich, not necessarily for a Cyanogen mod, but overall, there are test builds in various stages of malfunction for the Evo 4G, just to mention one you think is important, Jerry.
I was unaware of any Evo.
Yeah. I have a list that I saw this morning before I went to work. I was reading, and I did mark it. I thought maybe I would add it to our discussion for tomorrow, but, you know, anything that came up today. Because Monday is always a big news day. But I never put Monday stories, unless they're really outrageous, in the lineup, because I do the lineup before Monday.
All right.
That leaves something for next week. But I did decide that even though the Kindle Fire wasn't for me, I decided to take advantage of a deal that I saw this morning. So I stopped at the store.
And?
I really need help.
What did you get?
Transformer.
Oh, awesome. Did you get the dock too?
Yes. Hi, I'm Guru, and I am a Androidaholic.
That's sweet.
Aren't you supposed to say hi, Guru?
Hi, Guru.
Okay, is there a 12-step program for me?
No, just keep buying.
Well, admittedly, I didn't pay for the Kindle Fire. That's the sort of gift giver I am. I let the people who are going to actually receive the gift pay for it. Had I kept it, I would have reimbursed them. But if you're wondering, have I tried the Transformer? I came in the door an hour ago. The Transformer didn't come with any battery charge, so it was completely dead. I was able to, by having it plugged into the wall, I was able to log in with one of my many, many Gmail accounts.
Yes.
I don't have too many of those. And it looks good from what I was able to do while it was tethered to the wall with the 3-foot cable they provided. Yeah, if I like it, when I get back from my trip, I'm ordering a longer cable and possibly a slipcase. But we'll see. I will try by tomorrow. It was at 18% when I came over to the desk to start the show. So by the end of the night, I'm sure it will be charged up enough for me to actually play with it. So I'll have something tomorrow. For those of you who are showing up tomorrow at 9:30, you'll hear about it. Otherwise, the episode will be released on December 5th. In my absence. Remember, I will be away. I will hopefully have access, but I look forward to seeing all of you when I come back. Now, that said, just some comments from the chat room. Garby wants us to tell him how the Transformer is. Since he knows somebody who has the Transformer, I suggest he ask the person who's already been playing with it. I know he knows a guy who does have one, because he hangs out in a different chat room that guy goes up to. He doesn't listen, though. I wonder why he isn't listening, the guy who has the Transformer. Anyway, beyond that, Garby also has a Mesmerize, which is a Galaxy S phone.
Wow.
Well, those are good phones. The Galaxy S line. I have thought about a Samsung. But I did do some research on the Transformer. Everybody who didn't like it hated it.
So very polarizing.
Well, no, the majority of people liked it, but the people who hated it had issues with build quality. They said that some of the earlier builds were not as good quality as the later builds. But they said that everything with a serial number B06 and later was good. So I checked. I do have a later serial number, so that at least indicates. Also, there's a system update waiting for me as soon as I have enough battery charge to install it. I assume that must be 3.1 to 3.2.
You never know. It could be 4.0.
I don't think they've released that yet. But I know they had a 3.2 update, and I assume that was never installed when it left the factory. But let's get into some general news about the Kindle
Fire. What is an HTC Evo design?
That's another phone. Are you looking for your next phone, Jerry? I know you've had your Evo for such a long time. It must seem...
Well, I was looking at the list of phones that are going to get ICS, and the Evo's not on it.
Well, we knew that.
Well, that doesn't mean I'm happy about it.
Well, you'll get Cyanogen Mod 9.
Which. So which will go on my Nook and my Evo as soon as it's available.
Yeah, there's some discussion that it won't get on the Nook Color as fast. The primary developers who were supporting the Nook Color apparently are working on the touchpad right now, so they might not give as much energy to it. So if you happen to want to assist in getting the Nook Color set up with ICS, I suggest you get involved with the Cyanogen Mod project. One more thing about the Kindle Fire before I forget. It does support an external microphone in the headphone jack, except the Amazon App Store isn't aware of this, thus you would have to sideload any application that required audio input. You think they would have at least made it possible and said, well, if you just go out and buy a headphone, one of those headphones with a built-in microphone, it will work. But, yeah, maybe on a future version they'll change that.
But does it have a Bluetooth
chip
in it?
No.
Okay, so none of that.
Unlike the Nook where you could sort of turn on a chip that wasn't supposed to be on.
Right.
None of that. A few bits of general news. Apparently, AIM is not dead. Do you still use AOL Instant Messenger?
No.
Anybody in the chat room? Raise your hand if you use AOL Instant Messenger still.
No hands are up.
Yeah. Well, otherwise, I would have said 1998 wants its messaging platform back. But, you know, I do still have people who only talk to me on AIM, but there's a Gmail to AIM gateway.
Oh.
So I've decided to finally bite the bullet and just move everybody over who won't give up on AIM. So from their perspective, they won't know that I haven't moved. And from my perspective, I don't have to keep 3 services open just for the simple reason that people won't leave. They're only about 5.
See, and that's why I love Trillion.
Well, no, I keep it open in something like Trillion. I use Pigeon. I've decided that even that is too much, so I'm just going to consolidate my accounts. Don't worry, I will still have multiple Google accounts open. But one for each version of myself. I'm sliced too thin. But if they did, they released a new cross-platform app. You can get the Android app version. They're trying to become a messaging platform as opposed to just their traditional AOL instant messaging platform. So their app allows you to do things like Twitter, Facebook, Google Talk, essentially bringing multiple services together. So they want to compete with Trillion.
What I want to know is, where are they making money from? I mean, they're still paying salaries.
Advertising. I think most of the apps have ads.
Huh.
But either way, it is interesting. See, next I'm waiting for the major comeback of ICQ.
Well, actually, I have an ICQ account.
So do I. It's very popular in Russia, I hear now. That's who they sold it to.
My number is way, way too long to remember, though.
Oh, I know my number by heart.
Oh, I don't.
I'm not going to say...
Yours is probably much shorter than mine.
I got in early. But I'm not going to say what my number is, because I don't really turn it on anymore. In other news, by the end of 2011, 33.7 million Americans will use a tablet, which is 150% increase. By the end of 2014, 1 in every 3 Americans, or 90 million users, is expected to have a tablet. And apparently statistics indicate that more women prefer e-readers to tablets.
I wonder why for that be.
Which part? The increase? I think the increase is obvious.
No, the difference between men and women.
Well, it may just be function. You know, technically, you know, while there are some variants, men tend to be more early adopters than women. Admittedly, I know plenty of female early adopters, but being a fairly, let's say, geeky person, I tend to know a lot of females who happen to fall into that category. Whereas, you know, if you take overall percentage of the population, there actually are groups who are trying to encourage women in tech, because despite the fact there's really not as much of a barrier as, you know, admittedly, there's some social issues, but it's to encourage new women to get into technology. So there are several groups like that. And I heartily approve of them. I'm not sure how you feel, Jerry. Do you approve of groups that try to encourage more women to get into technology, since it is a overly male interest?
Not particularly. Huh. And really, it's not because I disapprove of women in technology, because really, what male geek disapproves of women in technology? It's just let people do what they want to do.
Well, I think it's more of an opportunity thing. Some of these groups are mostly social to make women feel comfortable with socializing with other women of similar interests. And that's what pretty much what clubs are based on, regardless of what their purpose is. I would love a club that wanted to have me get together with people who have technology. For example, a lug. They still have lugs. Admittedly, mm-hmm. I haven't been to a lug in some time.
But I wonder if Jacksonville has a lug.
I'm sure they do.
I mean, we're a million people.
Well, I know that there's a New York lug, but that's all the way down in Manhattan. I have to go and find out if I can find a lug that I could actually get to with my job schedule. But
well, jackslug.com is registered.
Okay. Well, while you're looking,
interesting.
While you're looking for that, there was a color e-reader using Qualcomm's Mirasol displayed unveiled in Korea. Now, I'm not really interested in what's going on in Korea, at least you know, in the sense that if it's not here. But I wanted to at least touch on the Mirasol display, which mm-hmm. I remember I'd mentioned to you sometime before, but you weren't familiar with.
Nope.
So I use this little quote here. The Mirasol display is the industry's first to use interferometric modulation, a micro-electromechanical systems-based technology capable of creating color from ambient reflected light. Basically, it's a competitor to Color e-Ink. Now, Color e-Ink, what they're using is something called the Trident system, which is made by the e-Ink. You know, e-Ink is a trademark.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, the concept is very similar. Basically, color e-ink, like black and white e-ink, works. The simplest way I've always described it to people is like an Etch-a-Sketch. And yes, Garby, Lug is a Linux user group. But essentially, the way that e-ink works, in the simplest explanation I could think of, although it's overly complicated, is that it takes energy to redraw the screen.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes pretty much no energy to maintain the screen.
Right, that's the whole idea of e-ink, right?
Yeah, so they have come out with a color e-ink system called Trident, which, you know, it's not as vibrant or it can't refresh as fast as an LCD screen. But for magazines and other things of that nature, it's going to definitely be worth it. And it has been used in a couple of devices, but it isn't quite at the point at which it's going to be widely distributed. Possibly, you know, the next generation of Kindle or Nook, the one that isn't LCD, may use it. And Mirasol is the competing technology.
Hmm.
So, basically, both of these things require very little to actually, in terms of power. So, they could run for weeks or a month, which is the wow. advantage of a Kindle. So, it's worthwhile, you know, obviously, the color e-reader they're using is Android-based. And while, mm-hmm. because it's not coming to America, I don't care. I'm going to be, you know, American-centric in that regard. If it's not here and I can't play with it, you know, I care that it's happening, but, you know, I care a little less. I apologize to those of you in Korea. I hope you get one. If you get one, send us a review. We'll certainly report on it. But until, you know, we can see this technology somewhere where I can touch it, it's only theoretical. Yeah. I'll be U.S.-centric. If it comes to the United Kingdom or some other country where somebody might want to send us a review as well, or if we have any Korean listeners, I don't think we do. We seem to have a large Danish contingent.
Interesting.
Every time I look at the statistics, there's a big block around Denmark. Hi, people of Denmark. Hi. Do you have anything nice to say about Denmark? I don't know that much about Denmark. I've never been there.
I have not either.
I have a coworker who used to live in Copenhagen, but I've never talked to them about it. No one noticed they lived in Copenhagen.
Hmm.
Well, there's a story behind that. But let's take a break for a moment for a word from our sponsor. Did you know, Jerry, that this time of year between the holidays, bad weather, and sick days, getting everybody in the same room for a meeting can be very difficult?
I did not know that, but I can certainly imagine it to be so.
Well, you live in Jacksonville, which is a, as you describe it, a paradise.
I would describe it as such.
Okay, well, I live in a place called New York. And admittedly, New York is a very wonderful place, but we have this thing that comes out of the sky during the winter. We call it snow.
Oh, see, we have sun.
Yes. And you have some, you know, things in Florida like hurricanes. Admittedly, they don't really hit Jacksonville. But essentially, you know, bad weather can come at any time. And the last thing that, let's say, I want to do on a bad day is go outside and shovel my car out of a snowbank in order and then brave the treacherous roads where I may get into an accident.
And who wants that?
When I could stay at home. And, you know, last year I got sick and I felt like I could continue working. But my coworkers forced me to go home and take the day off.
Hmm.
Thus, I was not eligible for the reward for not calling in sick for a period.
Oh.
So I could have stayed at the office, hacked up a lung, and continued my job. But I was voted out. Now, had I had a copy of GoToMeeting, I could have continued with my day. That's why I recommend this product. So GoToMeeting by Citrix would allow me to host my meeting from home. I could talk to all the same people, even if they were on a computer, if they were on a Android mobile device. I wonder if there's support for Honeycomb. I really should check. Since I have a Honeycomb device, this is the first one I've ever touched for any length of time outside of a store. And whether you're traveling on the go, whether you're snowed in at home like I could be, or if you're at home with a disease because your coworkers don't want to hear you coughing, sniffling, wiping, and other disgusting cold-related things, you could use GoToMeeting. It makes it easy to join meetings and collaborate in real time. And if you want to put on a presentation, you can see whoever's hosting the meeting's desktop right from their Android device or from a computer, and they can give a presentation on how to do something important. And I spend a lot of time teaching people how to do things they should already know how to do. Well,
that's funny.
It's my personality. That's why I do a podcast. I like teaching people things. I like to discuss things I'm interested in, so people come to me when they want to know stuff. So what I want you to do, if you haven't tried it already, I want you to try GoToMeeting free today. You can go to the Android market and download a free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions from anywhere. And with your Android device, you can do this even if you, like myself, are a Linux user and otherwise would be unable to try GoToMeeting. So you can go to GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code podcast. And if they ask, where did you hear about this wonderful thing, tell them that Jerry told you.
I told you.
Yes. Just say, I heard it on the Android Buffet podcast starring Jerry Jones.
Starring.
And that other guy.
I'm a headliner, baby.
Excuse me, you're the famous one.
That's funny.
Well, compared to me, I'm not very famous. I'm infamous. I'm not even welcome on Google+. Did you catch their new TV commercial, Jerry?
I do not have my own TV commercial.
No, did you catch the Google+ TV commercial?
I did not.
Yes, they had one during a recent football game, I believe, on Thanksgiving.
I did watch my Cowboys scrape a win out of the gutter. My gosh. But I did not notice a Google+ advertisement.
Well, I did send you a link to the YouTube version of this, so you can watch it, and it will appear in the show notes for those of you who are listening live. And Jerry, if you happen to have that link, you can, of course, paste it into the chat room. I left it in the other room. But Google+ also added mutual circle chat. So those of you who are in a circle will be able to have those people added to your GTalk. So now I have a bunch of people who, if I message them because I follow them for their articles of interest, will be uncomfortable with me. Some of these people I don't actually know. So if I sent them a message, oh, hi, I was watching you comment on an interesting picture you took on Google+. Would you like to have a random conversation? And yes, I'm still banned from Google+. That's the even better part. Not only am I still banned from Google+, but I get to take advantage of all these features, but I can't actually talk to anyone.
Sounds like a win-win to me.
Yeah, well, I still have the Android Buffet Google+ account. So even though I can't communicate with my Guru account on there, I can hit a tab while logged into that account and switch over to the Android Buffet account, and then I can follow people if they've already followed me, useful as that is, and I can talk to people. So go over and follow the Android Buffet Google+ account, because otherwise I'm not allowed to follow you back. I can't seek you out. And Jerry?
Yes?
You already followed.
I did.
Yeah, I should start circling things and plussing things and whatever other terms or the verbs are. Speaking of social, Google News added spotlights on things that are being shared and plus one'd on Google+ by your friends, also through your contacts. I'm not sure if that means that Google News will cease to exist to be replaced by a subset of Google+. How do you feel?
Probably not.
Well, how do you feel about the plusification of everything, Jerry?
The plusification of...
Well, I'm just saying, Google seems to be, has this goal this year of making everything social, so everything is being pushed into plus.
You know, first, I don't know, wow, the plusification. That's a good word.
Yes. First they came for the Google Reader, and a lot of people were very upset about that, especially apparently people in Iran. And now they're going after Google News.
You know, the plus one stuff is all invisible to me.
Yeah, but you it's not just plus ones. It's they're trying to make everything social and roll everything into their social network. I feel, you know, the analogy that I think of is you've heard the term walled garden.
Yes.
I feel as if I'm in the garden and somebody is, you know, gradually building a wall around it.
Okay.
Trying to keep me in. Now, to some degree, I can sort of accept it as, you know, Google, you know, is at least a much more benevolent overlord than some of the alternatives. But it makes it makes me nervous sometimes when, you know, I feel that I'm putting my eggs in one basket and the basket is changing or somebody's locking the basket in a cabinet. So I'm not saying that I'm giving up on Google, but I think that you have to have a healthy dose of skepticism and make sure that you are prepared for the day when Google may do something that you don't like.
Which is almost certainly inevitable.
Yes. Well, remember, prepare your exit strategy while enjoying your platform. That's why, even though I have uploaded all of my music to Google Music, I also uploaded it to Muzone, and I'm prepared to upload it to the Amazon cloud. So that may take, you know, 2 or 3 weeks versus solid uploading, but I will have my music in 3 different clouds.
There you go. And that's a backup.
Well, maybe I'll also add in an Amazon S3 storage, which is where I keep my backups. Anyway, other news. Macy's has an Android app now. Apparently, it's not just for shopping. You can do all sorts of other fun things.
Like what?
I don't know. I didn't install it. I don't shop at Macy's. I don't know why. I actually do live very close to a Macy's.
I don't think we have any Macy's nearby.
But, you know, apparently it is not just shopping. There are other features that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it looked like a very nice app from the screenshots. But, you know, I do have to admit that I cannot always test every single app that I hear about. I did test the next app, though, Go Name Card. It looks nice, but I don't think it's worth really installing. I have to sign up
Go Name Card?
Well, I have to sign up for an account so I can create what looks like a business card on the screen, which is visually appealing. Then I have to find somebody else who also signed up for this app so that I can transfer my name card over to them. So it's like a business card transfer thing. I think that's unnecessary. I'd rather have something integrated with my contacts. I don't need a fancy name card. If they want to make my contacts look nicer, that's a whole other issue. Mobivention has released an app that turns Android phones into pocket mirrors. This sounds like a very original idea that no one else has ever thought of. Yes.
That's funny.
Well, I wanted to see what you, as the creator of Real Mirror, would say, because this is your competition, Jerry. How is Real Mirror doing? Has anybody...
Oh, look, they gave it pretty little frames.
Didn't you give yours pretty little frames?
I did.
Okay, well, I can't try yours, even though I now have a front-facing camera, because you do not support the Droid 3.
I don't. Yes. It was just for the Evo.
Okay.
It was just... It was a quick little I Want to Learn app.
Okay.
I learned.
You've been superseded. I'm sorry.
I've been superseded. That's okay.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm old-fashioned. When I want to look in a mirror... I get a mirror.
You'll get a mirror? Yep.
Works. Moving along, push notifications are coming to the GetJar app store. Have you ever used GetJar, Jerry?
No. You know, even when they were the exclusive holders of, what was it, Angry Birds.
And they had a preview of GetJar. Well, it's nice to know that they're trying to actually have an app that would do push notifications of app updates, which I think is a good thing. But since that isn't really fully enabled, I will, of course, try to revisit the issue on our behalf once they actually enable it. If you're a root user, you can try Undelete Beta, which promises to recover deleted files from your SD card.
What?
Now, that's a potential interesting security thing, because if the goal is, if you wipe your card, to prevent other people from using it, and hopefully your wiping software writes some zeros and prevents that from happening, this is an undelete app. In the event that you accidentally deleted something from your SD card. It doesn't work 100%, but certainly a nice effort. Oh, and Jerry, there appears to be a question in the chat room. Would you like to field this one? You might want to tell our audience at home what's being said in the chat room.
So there's a question. Hey, guys, what happened to Flying Bathtubs?
The podcast that we did once a month.
Sporadically.
Yes. What happened to that, Jerry?
I don't know. What happened?
We keep forgetting to schedule it, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like we don't want... We abandon it. We just forget to do it. Because it's... You know, this podcast, it's every Monday. It's 10 p.m. you know, it's, you know, it's like waking up to go to work. It's hard to forget to wake up to go to, well, okay, maybe not, but this is just part of the routine. The flying bathtubs is always, we have to, you know,
schedule an extra time, which we're doing tomorrow.
Pretty much.
And thank you, Jerry, again, but for accommodating me.
Not a problem. I'm sure my job won't mind.
Well, you know, do they want a plug? You know, thank you to unnamed.
No.
Thank you to unnamed company that Jerry works for that we don't talk about for letting him do this podcast.
It's a super. It's a secret who I work for.
Secret who but, I work for.
Dude, I was for. I worked all day yesterday. Like I worked all through the weekend, and I worked all day yesterday, and I took a couple hours off. To spend some family time. Came back to work. I worked until 6:30 in the morning. I finally go to lay down because my daughter had today off. You know, no school today. So I figure she's going to sleep late. I lay my head on my pillow at 6:30. At 6:40, I hear, Daddy!
I have a solution to that.
What's that?
Door locks.
Well, see, my wife's in Spain, so it's pretty much me taking care of Christy.
Okay, so in that scenario, no door locks.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Eh. It's all right.
I apologize. I feel bad. You know, we're asking you to do a podcast and be entertaining. I do apologize.
Oh, not a problem. You know, there comes a threshold where I just get goofy from lack of sleep. And
that's good for a podcast, actually.
It is.
Goofy, you know, it goes for entertainment.
I know at least I have fun.
Yes, I always have fun or I wouldn't do this show. By the way, in terms of people who were making comments about the noise in the background for the live recording, I have arranged for a noise gate to be delivered to me.
Why would you want a noisy gate?
A noise gate. A limiter, basically. So it should filter out the noise. It is set to arrive tomorrow, which means, since it will not arrive until after the recording for next week, when I return from my vacation, which I'll be taking in the coming days, I will test it and have it installed in time for the episode on the 12th.
I think we've been doing pretty good about sound quality lately.
Yeah, but I wanted to filter out the background
noise. Much better than we did in the early days.
Yeah, but I am going to get a noise gate. I talked to a sound engineer I'm friendly with over Thanksgiving. He happened to stop by and he talked me into buying a noise gate.
And so what does a noise gate do?
Basically,
because how can you tell the difference between noise and signal?
I was always a little vague on that. I mean, sound engineering is not necessarily my strength. But as far as I understand, it allows you to filter out certain frequencies. So as I understand it, think of it, again, like a real gate. What happens is when I'm talking, it allows my voice through. When I'm not talking, it realizes that whatever that stuff is in the background, that needs to be filtered.
Hmm.
So silence will sound like silence.
That's kind of like black being black on a TV.
Yes.
It just doesn't happen.
Yes. And I have another story, by the way, for people who are Macintosh users, if we have any of those listening. I know we have iPad, iPod, and iTunes users. SyncMate for Android, allowing sync with your Mac, has been released. It includes the ability to partner your Mac with a Google account, which includes contacts, calendars, music, photos, even the ability to view, compose, and send SMS messages through your Google device. So if you happen to be a Mac user, this sounds like a good app for you. And if you're not a Mac user,
congratulations.
I'll accept that. I keep telling people not to use iTunes. You know, I'm not necessarily anti-Mac, but I am almost certainly anti-iTunes. I think it's a bad piece of software.
I would agree. But can you imagine the developers who have to develop that? You know, they're working at Apple, and they have to develop this application for Windows. And I guess there's a Linux version as well?
No.
Linux version, probably not so much.
Nope, no Linux version.
But for the Windows guys, you know, they're working at Apple, and they have to work in Windows. That's just, I bet they're the lepers.
Yeah, well, I have a lot of issues with iTunes that I think are mirrored on the Mac platform as well. I think it's one of those products where they could have, you know, rewritten it from the ground up, but they just keep tacking on bloated additions to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the business case for rewriting an app is almost never solid.
Yeah, but in this case, I think it's necessary. I think they can't continue. It's just surprising from a company that's so concerned about its appearance that it would let iTunes continue when it's concerned about every aspect of the user experience. So it's something of an anachronism. An anachronism. Something that does not fit into what should be there.
Oh.
Okay.
But I'm an anachronism?
No, I thought iTunes was. It's a remnant of another time.
Oh.
Anyway, I decided in response to what we were saying last week, last night I went and I enabled Google's two-step authentication.
No.
Yes.
That's going to be a pain.
Well, not really. I did include an article from, I believe it was from Eric Sparks Christensen, asking the question, does Google's multi-factor authentication make your security weaker as opposed to stronger? Now, what you have is you have application-specific passwords that are 16 random characters. You can revoke them at any time, but because they have a defined key length and it adds more ways to access your account, that might actually be a security hole just by itself. But Google has released an open-source app called The Authenticator, which you can download in the market, and what you do is you add a secret to it, and it will start generating random codes to enter in order to authenticate to various programs. LastPass, for example, which is a popular password manager, supports Google Authenticator as a factor. You can download and install one for SSH, should you wish it, and there are other pieces of software that would support it or could be enabled to support it. And Google even reminded us earlier this week why it was a good idea to enable two-step authentication. Oh, and there was one other thing. In the event that you have an emergency and cannot access your account, because let's say your phone is stolen, you can have an emergency key that will only work once to get into your account.
Interesting.
Well, have you ever seen those movies, let's say the beginning of War Games, where they reach into the compartment, they open the plastic chip, and inside is a series of codes for launching a missile?
Yes.
That's what it sort of looks like. You have these little things they suggest you put in your wallet, which are, you know, a sequence of numbers. So in an emergency, you could pull one of these things out and log into your account.
Interesting.
Yes. But it does replace a YubiKey with your phone.
Okay.
So I'm going to try it for a bit. I can always turn it off. Somebody pointed out to me when I pointed out that it made me a little nervous that I could always turn it off. But I don't think it's any more or less secure than what I had before. At least in the sense that I don't know what my Gmail password is now, and I still won't. Oh, Mert is here. I assume that's Mert from the feedback.
Yep.
Everybody say hi to Mert. Mert is in the chat room.
Hi, Mert.
Hi, Mert. We read your feedback. There. Anyway, so do you have any questions about Google's multi-factor authentication, either from the chat room or Jerry? Are you going to try it, Jerry?
No.
Why not? Life is complicated enough. Oh, and Scott Evans is here.
My phone goes a lot of places, so no, not happening.
Well, I'm just preparing for my inevitable trip outside of the country and all of the evil people that I probably won't meet in those countries, but I get to be afraid of. I know, Jerry, you've told me do not be afraid. As I said,
I have.
My relatives who live in that city have told me I should be afraid. So I'm not saying I'm going to be, you know, tying my phone with a tether to my body so that it cannot be pulled away. But I think I should take reasonable precautions. And two-step seemed like a good one. I'm still trying to decide. Should I take my netbook abroad or should I leave it at home? Do you take a computer when you're on vacation, Jerry?
Dude, I take a computer when I go to the to a restaurant.
Okay, then maybe I will bring my netbook.
But, you know, hey, with the Transformer.
I'm not bringing the Transformer.
Dude, why not?
Two reasons. One, I don't like taking new devices around in strange countries. And two, I don't have enough time to get a good case.
Oh, Jesus, in strange countries.
I also don't have an electrical adapter. But I think it uses USB on one end, so I probably could use one of the ones I bought. But I haven't had enough time to play with the device. It's not ready for field.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to go with my trusted and true netbook, and I will save the Transformer for my next trip. I'm thinking of visiting Florida. I've heard it's a weird and exotic country.
No.
Just for that, I'm not visiting your
place. But be careful. There's a lot of pickpockets down here. Those old people, they'll get you.
Okay. I'll try not to hang around their usual habitats, like the early bird specials, the early breakfast specials, Those are good, though. I know some.
Man, I'm telling you that on like a Saturday morning, or there's just nothing better than, you know, IHOP at 4 a.m.
I've been to an IHOP. We have them in New York, you know.
I hope so. They're international.
Yeah, but they closed a lot of them, at least in my area.
Why would they do that?
Well, one of them, they first it ceased to be an international house of pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it became a worldwide pancake house. Apparently, they lost their franchise but wanted to still sell pancakes.
Hmm.
But Kevin actually just raised an important question. He said that I should take my phone plus the Droid 2. So this is a question I'm still wondering. Should I take the Droid 2 Global, since it's been so stable since it upgraded to Gingerbread, or should I take the Droid 3? So should I take my latest and greatest cell phone, or should I take the slightly older one? What do you think, Jerry?
I think you should take the phone that you like and your Transformer and just enjoy your vacation.
Okay. That's what I think. I'm leaving the Transformer. Because if I don't like it, I'd still have 30 days to return it to the store. I think taking it to another country would probably void my warranty.
What?
Well, I'm talking about in terms of ruggedness. I have more of a risk of breaking it outside of the 30-day window. I have a tendency to not let items leave the house until I'm sure I'm not going to return them. What if I'm not happy with the Transformer? It has nothing to do with me being afraid it's going to be stolen in another country. I'm worried that I'm going to break it in another country, and then I can't get my money back if I don't like it.
Hmm.
And again, I want to say hi once more to Scott Evans, tuning in from under. Can you call Tasmania? Is that still down under? It's under something.
It's under the equator.
Isn't it the equator? Equator?
Yes, it is. But
you said you didn't have an accent. You
know, okay. No, it's just a funny way of saying equator. If, you know, you say Ecuador a lot, then it, you know, yeah, anyway.
Okay. I'll accept that. It is under the northern hemisphere. Yes. So we are allowed to call Tasmania down under. Okay. Either way.
You know, I have never been to Tasmania. I've been to Sydney. I've been to Perth. And
I hear they're nice people.
And I love, you know, Sydney's nice. If Sydney's the only place in Australia that you go to, Sydney's really nice. But man, Perth is just, okay. Good times.
Did you fly Qantas? I'm sorry, Rain Man reference.
No, I flew USS Independence.
Okay. I'm just wondering if anybody actually still gets Rain Man references. Gotta fly Qantas. Qantas is safe. Anyway, they're not so safe. All right. But that's
so, all this. How are we doing on our... We're like coming up on an hour. How are we doing on our timeline?
We're doing pretty well. I think we... Oh, we did miss something here. I did miss a story. Look at that. Here we are. The common error of overloading mobile apps with features. So the author of this particular article, I thought it was very interesting and worth discussion, has suggested that some mobile apps are trying to add feature after feature and ignoring, you know, their core feature, what makes people actually want to use them in the attempt to continue to iterate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there are some apps that, you know, continue to add useful features that integrate and to change their design and try to get better. So I think as long as you're aware of the possibility that if you make your app too complicated, then people will be turned off by that. I think that continuing to iterate is a good thing. But there are some apps that, you know, are just perfect the way they are. Like Real Mirror for Evo, that will never get any better. Or Real Soundboard. Has it reached the height of perfection, Jerry?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
My Soundboard, excuse me.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay. You say so.
I'm going to play silly.
Okay, you can do that. So, just to wrap up, I will be taking my vacation starting later this week, and I'll be back next week. Admittedly, I will be back before the end of the week because I can't afford that long a vacation, but I will be missing Monday's show. Those of you who are available at 9:30 Tuesday morning, we will be recording live. And for the rest of you, I will arrange and schedule the episode to be released on December 5th. During the day, so it will come out earlier than normal, since we won't record it at 10 o'clock at night, but you will be able to get it should you wish it. And I will be back to tell you how being in a foreign country, with or without a netbook, and just possibly using Android devices may or may not work, depending on what I actually decide to do.
Well, what do you need to do while you're over there, technology-wise? I mean, do you need to do anything specific? I mean, are there capabilities that you must have?
Well, you have to understand that I am a compulsive netaholic. So the idea of being disconnected from the world is not something that comforts me. So, let's put it this way. On the weekend, I was discussing with my family my plans for the trip. So the plan went like this. Arrive at destination. Find cell phone shop. Buy local SIM card. Insert into phone. And you know what I'm going to do after that?
Surf the internet?
No, I hadn't really planned past that point. I assume surf the internet while waiting online at various attractions and sites that I may see, while traveling on buses, trains, and other methods of conveyance where the scenery outside my window will not necessarily be conducive to viewing. For example, I planned on taking a day trip places, and when I come back, it will be dark outside, thus the scenery will not be conducive to any sort of viewing. So I need to have access to some form of entertainment, and my form of entertainment will be the world.
Good.
Wide web.
What?
What?
No, not the WWW, the wide world of Italia.
Okay. We'll see. Well, that's during the day. I'm not really a nightlife person. You know, I'm not one of those people who goes out to bars and drinks and makes merry. So I will probably spend the day enjoying the local sights and then go home, you know, spend some time on my computer and go to bed. And then get up early so I can do it all over again.
Good. Because, you know, you've got internet over here. So
yeah. Well, I'm referring
you know,
to
go
what
over
I'm...
there and see stuff. You know, hit google.it instead of google.com.
I don't speak Italian. That wouldn't really help. But you have to understand that I'm going to be using this internet at times when I would not be able to see the sites. So let's say I am having lunch in a foreign country. I may take a moment and check my email.
Don't.
I'm
Enjoy
sorry.
The sites.
I'm obsessive compulsive.
Now, get over it. There are beautiful, beautiful women over in Italy.
Aren't there beautiful women in New York? I'm just saying that, you know, importing women is sort of difficult.
I don't know. It worked for me.
There's paperwork.
Yeah. There's a lot of paperwork and there's a lot of fees for it, but.
I'll make you a promise. If I happen to fall in love with an Italian woman, I will make the effort to import her.
Oh, dude.
Well, you know how it is. I am not seeking love, but I am not objecting should love present itself.
You know, you live in a city with how many women? A gazillion?
A gazillion?
I don't know. There's a lot of women in New York, right?
Yeah.
More than four.
I'm certain there are a lot of women in New York. I'm not sure what percentage of them are single. I'm not sure what percentage of them are interested in me.
Well, there's probably more than four women in New York. So,
are you suggesting that the percentage of millions of women who are potentially interested in me is equal to four?
No. I'm saying that you're going to a place where the women will be different. Enjoy it.
Okay. Well, I did find a solution, though. The other reason I need data is I need Google Translate in conversation mode. So I can press a button on my phone and say things like, where is the nearest cell phone shop? And it will translate it.
No. Or you could get like a paper dictionary and use it as a conversational prop.
Why can't Google Translate conversation mode be a conversational prop?
Dude.
Hello. I am American. Do you like my smartphone? It translates into Italian. I'm sorry, I don't have Google Translate now to translate that.
All I'm saying is you're going to another country. Don't treat it like, you know, you took a week off from work to hang around the house.
Oh, I'm not going to hang around the house. I'm going to hang around somebody else's house. I'm not hanging around my house. I'm hanging around my cousin's house.
Different areas are famous for famous for different things. Italy is famous for beauty. Architecture, art, the landscaping.
I intend to see all these things. I don't see why you think I can't see all these things while having my phone securely in my pocket.
While it's in your pocket, yes, but in your hand, while you're perusing the internet, maybe not so much.
Well, I'm not saying I'm doing that while I'm looking at the sights of Rome. I'm saying, you know, you take lunch, you sit at a restaurant, you check your email, you finish your day, you know, at the end of the night, once the sun goes down, you spend, you know, half an hour reading.
No, when you sit down for lunch, you pop out your phone, then you present and when you pull out your phone and you start looking at it while you're at a dinner table or a lunch table, then you become less approachable.
I'm already less approachable. I'm taking my relatives along. Anyway, I have a question.
And it doesn't even have to be about women.
I have a little question here. I just want to ask Scott Evans what sort of paranoia he's thinking that I have.
Are you kidding?
What am I paranoid about?
Dude, really? You're asking this question?
Yes. What am I paranoid about?
You think that everybody over there is dishonest and is going to try and steal your shit.
I do not. I said my cousin thinks that. My cousin has lived in Rome for his entire life. Thus, I take his opinion seriously. That's not being paranoid. That's trusting your relatives.
Okay.
If I came to Jacksonville and you said everybody in Jacksonville has a gun, you live in Jacksonville, I would take that bit of information very seriously. If you told me that everybody in Jacksonville was a zombie who wanted to eat my brain, I might be skeptical about that, but I would think you would certainly know more on the subject than I did.
I would say that whenever anyone starts a statement with everybody is a thing or does a thing or wants a thing, then you should immediately be skeptical.
They did not say skeptical. They said that since you're going to a lot of tourist places, you are a prime target for pickpockets. And Rome has a pickpocket problem.
Okay. I hope you get over there and you see the place and you realize that...
I shouldn't keep my cell phone out?
No. I'm should enjoy the time that you're there. That's all.
I will. I'll tell you all about it when I come back. I just have a habit of having bad vacations. Last time I went on a vacation...
Have you ever watched Good Will Hunting?
You're talking about that scene where the guy says that he's hoping every day when he comes to the door that the other guy isn't there?
No.
Okay.
I'm talking about that scene where Robin Williams is talking to... What's his name?
Good Will Hunting?
Yeah. Anyway... Affleck? No, not Ben Affleck.
Who's that guy?
He played in...
Matt Damon?
Matt Damon. Robin Williams is talking to Matt Damon, and Matt Damon has got, you know, he remembers every single thing that he ever reads.
Okay.
And Robin Williams is talking to him like, yeah, you could tell me everything about, you know, how the Sistine Chapel was painted or this or that, but he doesn't have any real life experience with it. He couldn't tell Robin Williams how the Sistine Chapel smells.
I'll get back to you on that. I'll see how the line is. And no, Kevin, I have no intention of meeting the Pope.
Just try and relax while you're over there and soak it in.
Okay. Well, everybody was saying that they wanted to know what happened to flying bathtubs. And now they're complaining that we've diverted into topics not Android Buffet related. So we can't win, can we?
That's all right.
But I promise I will have as nice a vacation as I will have.
You will be enriched for the rest of your life.
Well, I hope so. I'm just saying, I have a tendency to have bad vacations.
Experience it without preconceptions.
I'm just saying that I have a tendency to have bad vacations, and I'm hoping to have a good one.
And you're going with your family?
No, I'm going to see my family. Some of my family is tagging along.
Oh.
I said, well, I'm going to go and see our relatives in Rome, and suddenly every member of the family started saying, oh, maybe I'll tag along. Some of them ditch dropped them out, though. That's sort of hard.
Ditch them. By and large, just from personal experience, if you're going to go out with people, it is my recommendation that you go out with a single other person, two other people at a max. You know, a group of three is as large as you want to go.
We'll see. In the meantime,
larger than that, and you start, you know, it causes perception problems.
I understand. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that you are taking my over-caution on certain things as me being overly concerned about them. I promise you that none of these things will affect my vacation. I hope not. How about this? I will tell you all about my vacation when I return, and you will hear what I thought of it, and I'll provide pictures and photographic evidence. Possibly, you know, since I will have my digital devices, maybe I will upload some pictures during the course of the trip.
That would be cool.
Okay.
But don't
let it distract me from the trip. I know. We've covered
that.
I think we're circling around that issue. Now, just as a final reminder, we will be back tomorrow at 9:30 in the morning.
Less than 12 hours, folks.
Yes, and we will be back to do a special roundup episode where we will be talking about apps in various categories. I know, Jerry, that you have your apps ready.
I do. Okay. I've got a big one that I want to talk about. I've been trying out RDO.
Okay. I want to hear about it. We'll also talk a little about some news items that came up today, since they've happened since this episode was scheduled. And I will see if I can say a little more about the Transformer, assuming it charges up before I go to bed. And that brings us...
You know what? If you go to... if you're going to go to Italy and you're not going to bring your Transformer, why don't you mail it to me? And then when you get back, I'll mail it back.
We'll see about that. In the meantime, Jerry, as you know, you can be found at jerry.jones@gmail.com and jerry_jones on Twitter and Jerry Jones on Google+. I myself cannot be found on Google+, but Android Buffet can be found there. You could find our live notification of Android Buffet episodes on Twitter at Android Buffet. You can also find me on Twitter at Gadget Wisdom. You can, of course, use the contact form on our website or email podcast@androidbuffet.com. You can send us a voicemail. You can do so by dialing 2012-WENICA should you be in the United States. Otherwise, you may email your message to us. Like Mert, you can send us feedback should you wish it. And That brings us to the end of the episode. We want to thank the lovely people at GoToMeeting for continuing to sponsor us, at least for the next week. And we will see some of you back here tomorrow, and we'll hear some of you on the pre-recording. We will resume our 10 p.m. live episodes December 12th at 10 p.m. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And we are a project of the Wenica Media Group, creators of fine quality online content. Sometimes we're a project of them. Yeah. Anyway, that said, the Wenica Media Group currently provides some other sites which need more updating, including, of course, Gadget Wisdom. Check out our recent commentary on the Kindle Fire. And I want to thank everybody in the chat room for joining us today. That would be Able101.
Today was an awesome day for today. If you're listening to this afterwards and you weren't here for the chat, for shame on you. The chat was rocking today.
I want to read the names. Able101, Garby, Kevin McLaughlin, which is Kazen108, Murph, Mert, and of course VK7HSE, also known as Scott Evans, from Tasmania. I would tell everybody in the chat room to scream hello through their microphones, but I don't have the ability to pick that up. And I look forward to seeing any of you who want to show up tomorrow morning. And that brings us to the end of the episode, unless you have something else to add, Jerry.
I don't. We'll be back in about 10 hours, so see you then, or not.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.